Hello, Denny. How are you?
Morning, gents. I'm missing the echoey pup from wherever he was. From where was he?
He was on the toilet in India.
Nice.
The curry got him.
I'm not going to say what he sounded like he was, but Jesus. Yeah, it was. I'm missing the echo. Put it that way.
Vagaries of IPL commentary gigs. Anyway, it's good to speak to you, mate. And well, what about that game yesterday? And you know, Loz said he picked it just watching Gutho lined up. I think I was just thinking, if I was a Tigers fan, you know how this ends. But it didn't end how, so I guess we expected it to a lot of the time with the Tigers, and they hold on for a gutsy one-point win. How'd you see it?
Well, it reminded me of you in Origin back in the day next to the post.
Oh, mate, most definitely, Denny.
Any excuse to bring that up.
Unfortunately, though, I wasn't tired.
For some reason, that goal kick's just stuck in my mind, Loz. For all the great things you did on the field, I love thinking of that.
No, well, two things I get mentioned for, that one and Gus stealing my chair.
It's not fair, is it?
No, it's not. That's a great of the game. But look, yeah, look, how good is it be for the Tigers, you know? Who would have thought that the thing that impressed me most, and I know you've been talking about it, was just the resolve they showed in defence. And the addition of John Morris there is their minister of defence has really helped the Tigers. You know, he wasn't really wanted by South at the end of the day, and you know, he was successful at Cronulla, and for whatever reason that didn't work out, but he's showing that he's providing a blueprint for defence for the Tigers, which has been, I know they've had a lot of weak points, but that's been their weakest, hasn't it? That's where, you know, you really wanted to see them improve, and that's where they're showing improvement. So it's quite impressive what they're doing there, and obviously unearthing young stars as well, that doesn't hurt. Like the emergence of Lachie Galvin has just been quite incredible. You know, I don't know how well you guys know this or not, but there's a lot of movement or a lot of niggling in the background by his agent to try and get him out of the Tigers. imagine if they'd, I think there was as many as, I think, three release requests from his manager.
When did this happen?
Throughout the off season.
Because they signed Jerome Luai, I'm guessing.
Correct.
Yeah.
And even on the first day Shane Richardson moved into his job as the head of the Tigers, the first thing that happened was that Lachie Galvin's agent was on the phone to him saying, you know, can we get out? Mm. So I guess
He won't be moving from 5'8", put it that way, if he keeps developing on the path that he's on. So Jerome will have to play 7.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And look, that in itself is great for the, you know, he's obviously going to have ups and downs, Lachie Galvin.
Yeah, most definitely.
As a youngster. But geez, he's showing a cool head, isn't he? He's a real, you know, cool head and strength and backs himself, and he wasn't rattled by the sin bin. And, you know, we don't want to, it's detrimental to put too huge a rap on a young guy, but it's just great to see, isn't it? It's good to see the Tigers stuck to their guns. But don't forget, they've got Finu as well. They signed for big money. I think Bud Sullivan is on big money as well. So plus they've got Caesar as well. So they really stacked up in the half, thinking it was a weakness. But as it turns out, you know, they've got a good one. They've got a And you listen to people who watch these things carefully, and I speak to Gus about it, and they've been saying for years that this kid's on the radar. But a lot of these boom youngsters don't always come up and handle the rise to first grade, and he's done it, I wouldn't say with ease, but he's done it with calmness, hasn't he? And obviously he's made for this.
What did you make of Parramatta without Mitch Moses with the football? Because I was a little bit disappointed. As well as the Tigers defended, they had plenty of possession, plenty of chances to put points on, and they just didn't come up with the right options.
Well, are you expected Dylan Brown to stand up?
Yeah.
And really take charge? Because he's a brilliant player. But there wasn't the direction and the potency and the, the game management that you were hoping you'd see. And Dylan Brown's got to get that in a hurry for Parramatta. He can do it. There's no question he can do it.
Yep.
But, the whole fact that Mitchell Pearce's name was mentioned at Parramatta.
Was that a realistic option? I read that and I thought, oh, geez. Well, Parramatta, surely they're not going back to the well with Mitch.
Well, I think it was a try-on from an agent.
Right.
That's all it was.
Yeah.
And look, Mitch Pearce, I've had some conversations with him in recent times. He's not thinking about playing football. He's settled back now in Australia. He's embarking on a bit of a media career. He's doing other things. He wants to help people deal with, the highs and lows of life and sport.
Mm.
He's given up drinking. He's observing Ramadan because he's got a Muslim girlfriend. He's thinking a lot outside the square at the moment, Mitch Pearce, which has always been a trait of his, but he's not thinking about football, not thinking about playing football. He's quite happy talking about it and, reminiscing and thinking about the good and the bad days and doing podcasts and all these sorts of things. But, that would have been quite the move if, I just didn't think it was any chance of ever happening. But obviously somebody was trying to plant the seed, which is quite interesting in itself. But what it shows, Laurie, is where's our halfbacks? Where are they? Tigers got a few lurking around, but they bought a stack of them to find a good one. And, where are our halfbacks? Caesar comes back from England to, he's definitely towards the end of his career. He might want to play more football, but he's towards the end. And it just shows we're really short as a game in that area.
Yeah, and he's been great for the Tigers the last couple of weeks, Aiden Caesar, and Tiger supporters would be hoping that...
I didn't think he'd be as good as he's been, Lauren.
No, I thought his time might have passed him, but he's just what the Tigers have needed with that young 5'8", Lockie Galvin, someone to take a bit of pressure away from him, kick well, and just allow Galvin to play what he sees. And if he sees something on, give him the licence to do it. And I think Benji's had something to do with that as well. But I tell you what, Danny, I thought it was going to be difficult for Penrith to win 3 in a row last year. And they did it. And then I'm thinking, well, surely they can't win 4 in a row. It just won't happen. And now I'm starting to think the opposite again. I'm starting to think they are the clear favourites.
It's been a big campaign, the Easter long weekend, hasn't it? And you sort of seem to forget, we've seen a lot of footy, and you forget about what Penrith did to the Roosters. I mean, everyone thought the Roosters would win that game. Well, a lot of people did anyway. Given... they did it without Nathan Cleary and they did it easy, didn't they?
Yep.
And that's and without Fisher Harris. I know the Roosters were missing Spencer Lenu and they didn't have Lindsay Collins, but they still had a great team out there. And I think that the score probably flattered the Roosters. And it just shows you saw Ivan Cleary even a little bit emotional or happy after the game. You never really see that. Ivan's just as like a glass of water. He's cool. He doesn't move. He's just, but he showed emotion because he knew that was a big, big win. And we've all been, I guess it's a little bit like Melbourne back in the day, Laurie, where everybody is waiting for them to fall.
Yeah.
And they're just not falling. And they just keep on producing players. And they've just got this great winning culture about them, don't they? And I think they, for everything that happened, to me, that was the most significant thing we saw over the entire round, just the way they did it and the strength they showed and the machine was just in full swing again.
And I'll be more confident if they can beat Manly this weekend at Brookvale. If they beat Manly this week at Brookvale...
That's huge, isn't
it? Massive. Because Manly are hard to beat there. Manly coming off a poor performance against the Dragons. Jeez, I'd be disappointed if I was Seibold after that performance.
Terrible.
Yeah, wasn't good.
They were the biggest disappointments, I thought, just the way they went on and the way they played. It was just, they just had nothing. And, their best players, unfortunately, had their worst games.
I can't remember Tom having a performance like that.
I don't want to bag them because, they're great, but even Cherry wasn't effective.
Mm.
And Cherry... Like Daly Cherry Evans never plays below a 7 out of 10 in my books. And Tom, like his confidence has been back and his fitness is back, and we've seen all of that. But that was just, I guess we'll just call it a blip, hopefully, for him. I mean, like, he won't play a game like that this season, if ever.
Over at the Bulldogs in the Good Friday match, they're just pipped by the Bunnies, 20-16, and have some injury concerns heading into their match against the Roosters. Well, Josh Adokar won't play due to the concussion stand down, and Jacob Preston, he's out for around a month, Denny. A fractured jaw suffered in that collision with Shaq Mitchell.
Oh, yeah, look, I actually caught up with Jacob yesterday. He came back on and played with that fracture. I mean, that's pretty tough stuff. I mean, we underestimate. I mean, Laurie, you've seen it obviously firsthand, but just as a person, you know, in the stands or on the couch or whatever, we underestimate exactly how tough these guys are. And Jacob, when I caught up with him yesterday, I was surprised that he's not a big guy at all. There's not a lot to him physically, but he's got a real mental resolve. And he wanted to. His immediate thought was when he found out about his jaw injury, the fracture. He said he wanted to play again this week to see if he could play, but the club have said no. You've got to go and have a rest. Yeah, he might. He told me yesterday he's meeting with a surgeon on Wednesday to see whether he needs surgery or not. They're hoping he doesn't, but obviously if he does, I think he'll be out for about a month or so. But the fact that he wanted to he wanted the opportunity to play this week just shows what he's made of it. And it's a kind of resolve and commitment that Cameron Serrato has been searching for at that club. They've had to have a complete overhaul. It's not really taking just yet. They're showing good commitment, but they've got a long way to go in terms of getting their attack right. That's a real work in progress, because they probably had enough field position and ball to beat South Sydney. South were desperate, obviously, but they probably had the opportunity. They were behind, they got in front, and they showed what they're made of. But at the moment, they're just lacking, I guess, a little bit of class or polish, I think.
And you wrote in the Sun Herald, Denny, about, well, James Packer and Nick Politis, that they've made up over there in the States.
Well, you know, rugby league built on feuds, isn't it? Like, and these two are two of the biggest business people involved in rugby league, if not the biggest, I'd say. They're right up there. And for a long time, you know, they were very close. They were at James as a board member of the Roosters. They fell out, I think largely because James bought into the Rabbitohs, who we know what Nick Politis thinks of the Rabbitohs. And they've had a fallout, but yeah, they were brought back together. A lot of good things happened in Vegas, which I'm sure we can't always say that. But one of the good things was that they got back together. They met at the Wynn Casino, had a coffee, and hopefully that's a friendship that has been patched up again. Well, I don't think anybody was too happy that I wrote the story. I'll tell you that much.
I tell you what, Denny, South, they're out of the news at the moment. They had their first victory on the weekend. I'm going to put you on the spot. What's the storyline this week? Everyone will be chasing or sniffing around, you think. What team is under pressure?
Well, it's the ones who aren't winning. I mean, if the Titans are in Sydney, holy moly.
Geez, they've been ordinary, haven't they, the Titans? Oh,
holy, like, they would be...
I was umming and ahhing about putting them in the eight.
Yes, yes. You'd be doing a live broadcast from the Titans car park as in Sydney. That's how much pressure they're in. I'd be lurking around bouncing poor old Dez.
Oh, jeez.
They look terrible. There's something not right there. And, you know, a South out of the woods, maybe. Mm. Maybe. That was a win over the Dogs. They've got to back it up. I think they've got the Warriors this week. From memory, so that's a challenge in itself as well. So, but for right now, you know, we always look at, unfortunately, where the losses are coming, and the Titans are a disaster. They're a disaster, and I thought they'd be okay, like you said, Laurie. But no Tino, and they're just showing nothing in defence, which has been, you know, Dez's, you know, building block, isn't it? That's what he built his success on. And unfortunately, I don't know where their wins are coming from.
Denny, thank you, mate. Have a great week.
See you, gents.